The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Hi, I'm Paco Romaine.
I'm George Chen.
And you're listening to Sup Doc, a show where we talk to our interesting friends from the worlds of comedy, writing, TV, and film about their favorite documentaries.
Today, we sat down with comedian Krista Fodka. Krista recently won first place in the Sacramento Comedy Competition and produces a charm offensive at the San Francisco Punchline. With over a decade of performance experience in circus and theater, she's as comfortable on stage as she is in a room full of clowns.
Which is to say, pretty comfy. Krista wanted to discuss the doc Kumare. Kumare is about how a lapsed Hindu named Vikram Gandhi conducts an experiment in which he poses as a guru and attracts a number of followers, but unexpectedly finds that his followers are receiving genuine benefits from his deception, and he ultimately comes clean.
And now here's Krista. Hi, Krista.
Hi, George. Long time no see.
I know. I'm not around a lot. And, well, I mean, I'm around here.
You're
I'm
around
not
the around places where you are. That's right.
Yeah. You live in Oakland, right?
I do live in Oakland.
Yes. It's been, I missed the entire red sky phenomenon that happened.
Mm-hmm. You missed a whole, like, thick air phenomenon.
Mm-hmm.
You're lucky.
Well, he
to
lives
have missed
in Los Angeles.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah. I've been wearing a mask, not for, not just to be Asian, but
just
because,
for fashion reasons.
Well, two reasons. One is the cat that it was the previously mentioned cat. Cause I got to clean
Biggles?
His poopies.
What's his name?
Sherby.
Sure.
Are
I got
to
clean his poopies.
Okay.
No, just like I got a really dusty litter.
And you don't want your babies to be deformed. So you wear a mask.
I got one of them natural litters, but apparently it's got some cancer wood. Anyway, yeah.
Everything has cancer now.
There's a breaking thing. I think I've talked off mic about it, but I also was an extra on Westworld, and that shit is dusty.
Wow.
That's a dusty ass set.
Someone died again on that set.
Did they die? I heard there was a head
was
injury.
Was it you? Are you an apparition?
Dude, I don't know if I'm allowed to talk. This doesn't have anything to do with what's on the show, so let me preface that. If anyone from HBO happens to... we know we have a lot of HBO listeners.
And if you are from HBO, hire us.
I saw a grip fall off of a roof. That was fucked up.
Oh, that was the injury.
That was a different injury. I saw something in the paper about a male cast member hitting his head at home.
Mm.
But they never said who it was.
Oh, right.
And by the time this airs, perhaps... more will be known about this, but you thought someone died. You had heard someone died.
I thought I heard someone died, but
like Burning Man. Someone dies every season.
Yeah, that's what happens.
Yeah,
it's a cliffhanger.
You party in the dust, and shit's gonna get weird.
I wish that was a crossover of season two of Westworld. Is that actually it all started at Burning Man? Like that's where Delos set up shop. It is kind of a similar idea. I don't know if you guys watch Westworld.
Yeah, I
season one.
Your money's no good here, but you did have to pay money to get here.
Sure.
That is like how that works.
Anthony Hopkins in a loincloth, essentially.
Okay. Well, that's your fantasy. But
no, I mean, it's Burning Man. It's the Westworld Burning Man.
Krista, have you burninged?
I've twice gone to Burning Man.
Okay.
I don't know if I've really done it because, my mind wasn't blown, but I did my best.
Oh, awesome.
Yeah.
And your best wasn't good enough.
It wasn't much, but did my best.
My best wasn't much, but I did it.
Yeah.
For people who don't know, Krista Fodka, what a wonderful comedian.
Oh, thanks.
And the scene.
Thank you.
And the San Francisco scene. You're absolutely hilarious. When did you start?
About 4 years ago.
Shut up. That's it?
Shut up. Yeah.
Get the fuck out of here.
Well, that will make for a short podcast.
Kind of would. No, stay.
Okay.
Just 4 years ago?
Yeah, a little bit less. Super Bowl, the Monday after Super Bowl Sunday, mm-hmm. I went to a little open mic in Nevada City.
Oh, and no way.
Yeah, my first, the first time, it's a little cafe called Mecca, I think.
Okay. Are you from there? What were you doing in Nevada City?
No, I was dating someone up there. And so I had gone to the Stork Club. Uh-huh. And I sat there and I waited and I never
got
up. When
OJ was still doing it?
When it was OJ's mic and it was super hot and tons mm-hmm. of people went and not everybody got up. And it right. was my first go round and...
You signed up and couldn't get in. Yeah,
I signed up and I didn't go up. And so I had kind of written a set thinking I would do a comedy open mic in a bar. And I went to this little cafe and it's mostly like... 16-year-old girls playing like really sweet ukulele songs like a slam poet spoken word guy. And I was like, okay, I guess I'll do my weird jokes about making fun of virgins. And I was like, I didn't anticipate there being actual virgins here, right. but they ended up being my biggest fans. And they were like, after my set, they were like, oh my God, do you know who Sarah Silverman is? And I was like, you are too young. You should not know who that is.
That was the land of Joanna Newsom that you were performing in, though. So it's not surprising there was some ukulele.
Totally. Youth. Yeah. Ukulele they were impressive, too. They were a hard act to follow.
Really?
Yeah.
They were kind of too good.
Yeah.
You know, it seemed they had cool parents, so right. that feels like cheating.
Yeah, absolutely.
Oh, Nevada City is all like old hippies, pretty much. Yeah.
Totally. Yeah. They have nothing to rebel against.
Were you trimming or were you dating a trimmer?
No, I was dating someone who, you know, because he lived there, I think anyone that lives there is required to grow a certain amount of pot, mm-hmm. but that wasn't his main thing. You probably know him. He's a musician person.
I probably do.
Yeah.
We can do this off mic if we want.
Wait, aren't you, one of your boyfriends knows George?
One of your boyfriends?
Should we talk?
One of my Krista, many. You, my stable of men.
You do have which pony is it?
You mean one of the many men left in my wake.
Yes, sorry. That have not been through the demise of the vodka wake.
That knows me.
Yeah.
Or that I know.
I have several boyfriends that know you. You're friends with 80,000 people on Facebook.
That is true.
And that's why we've got great download numbers on this podcast all the time.
After our last show at the Punchline, the Charm Offensive, I think...
Which is your guys run that show together with
right.
David.
That's right.
But one of the dudes, he was like, I know, I'm good friends with George Chen. I went to high school with him or something.
Oh yeah. Uh-huh.
I went to high school with a couple of comics, by the way.
Oh, should...
No, this person isn't a comic, but he is, was really good friends with you from college. This is getting weird.
I'm sorry.
This is exactly what a podcast is.
Exactly.
Super, if anything, we learned from Kumare, self-indulgence right. is no problem.
It's like podcasts begin as an experiment and end as an experience.
Yeah. I'm surprised this
didn't
derail. That's
so poignant. Did you come up with that?
Kumari did.
I figured it was somebody holier than thou.
I just added podcast to the sentence. anyway, so we can move on from that. We'll talk after.
Great.
But let's talk about
Kumari.
That'll
be Patreon content, who I went to high school with.
Yes, that will be.
Yeah. Added bonus features.
Right. Sorry.
Brendan Lynch and Ron Chapman, but not at the same time.
Oh, man. What happened to Ron Chapman? I forgot about him. I love that dude.
I have not seen him, but I
think he stopped doing stand-up. No, I haven't seen Ron in a long time.
He was
doing
Killing My Lobster, I thought.
Oh, was he?
Yeah, I think he's more of a sketch comedy person now.
Well, then he went to the Death Star. So you picked Kumare.
I sure did, and Kumare picked me.
He kind of did, didn't he? Yeah, that's how this works. The delightful 2011 documentary by Vikram Gandhi, Kumare. Kumare. Did you guys have that in your head?
Kumare.
the music was catchy. I'll say I did get some of the music a little bit in my head, but I am curious why you picked this movie, Krista.
Well, I'm a believer, you know, just waiting to find my cult, and I like shit like this, and I believe in true gurus, and when I saw this movie, I think it plays with that like ethical line so hard. You know, people start cults and they know that they are bullshit artists, and they never own up to that. And so here's a guy who is doing it sort of intentionally, and I wasn't totally clear what his intentions were, if they were kind of just this indulgent, I want to make a movie and I'm going to pretend that it's sort of altruistic, but really I just want to make an interesting movie and do this like long con on people, or if he really was like trying to do his own seeking and actually offer something of benefit to other people. I mean, that's kind of how he sold it in the movie, but even knowing that he's, I mean, from the beginning, you know, the premise, he's posing as a fake guru. I think it's still so like the end of the movie, I almost couldn't watch the scene, the reveal, you know, the whole time he's going to reveal to them that he's a big fat faker.
Yeah.
And it's so nerve wracking. Yeah. And even at the end of it, you know, I still don't have a clear answer for myself. Like, is it a net gain, or does he cause enough harm that net positive doesn't matter? You know, so it's like one of those things that I feel like a good movie is one where you keep thinking about it and you have those questions that you can't quite answer.
Oh, yeah. That's interesting. Yeah. That's a good point. I think when he seems like a big, complete jokester at first, and he's like, well, I mean, so essentially the doc starts out with him wondering why there's gurus, why there's visionaries, why people fall into the trap. Mm-hmm. And then he like goes and looks for himself, and then he's like, well, this is interesting. I want to put on this experiment and see if I can pull this off. Right. And so he does. I mean,
and kind of also stems from this experience of like he's children of immigrants and growing up in New Jersey, Indian American. And I think that's part of his, like, he grew up with a really strict religious household.
Right. Yeah. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. And he talks about growing up and having like strict religion and stuff. And then they show him smoking a cigarette and driving down a street in Jersey somewhere.
Well, I was surprised that he studied religion in college. So it's clearly been a huge issue for this guy the whole time.
Right. So there does seem to be some genuine seeking going on. And I think that makes him more sympathetic. Like, it's not just for a fun premise for a movie. I think there is something that is compelling him to, you know, kind of go down this path. And when I think of, like, I have some sort of touchstones in the realm of gurus, and I think a lot of them are rascally people. Like, they have that trickster thing where they're, you know, a true guru is someone who doesn't have any karma left here. They just come back to help other people, essentially. Huh. And so,
is that the definition? Because I was actually thinking, I don't really know what makes someone a guru.
I don't know. I mean, that would be like a bodhisattva or an enlightened being, and people kind of gather around those people and do call them gurus. But the whole concept of it has become so corrupt that I don't know what the common definition of it is. If it's
right. Well,
the
also
common,
like,
definition might just be a charlatan creating his own religion.
And is that, well, charlatan is a bad, is like, has a, you know, a connotation.
Guru is not inherently a bad, it doesn't have negative connotations inherently. Just means someone who's,
That's what this documentary, I think, is trying to position, is that you just don't know. Is it, if people come away, even if it's a charlatan, with something better in their life, then isn't it okay? I think that's kind of the question this doc is asking, right? Or am I all fucked up?
Right, no, I think that is. I think he goes into it wanting to help people and see if it matters. If he knows that he's a big fat faker, can he still impart something that gives people a positive experience?
He's like a placebo. He's like the guru placebo.
I mean, it's hard to know, like, intentions in a way, because the way this thing's structured is so formulaic to reality television. And so it does seem like it switches motive at some point, like near the end, because he just has to like get himself out of this corner he's painted himself into.
Right.
But it's got this reality TV arc.
It does.
With the reveal.
Sure. Yeah.
And he comes from, I think, some of that background. It seems like a lot of people that worked on, there were some people that worked on this, I think, come from that reality TV background.
Right. Well, but if you think about coming into a movie, making a movie like that with a top-down kind of, this is the structure of how we're going to make this movie, and then in the process of making that movie, going under, like, I think he goes through, like, a real spiritual transformation. And so mm-hmm. I think sticking to that sort of outline that he set up, I mean...
Maybe that was his path. Maybe his path was faking to be a guru so that he could have...
Totally. But then I wonder, like, I totally wonder what he's up to now.
He's working for Vice, isn't he?
Well, yeah. According to IMDb...
Is that where all gurus go?
We talked about Barry. He's a producer on Barry, Adam Monsbach, Barack Obama thing. I thought he was a director, but he's a producer on that. And then he worked on a lot of the Vice news programs, and I guess he made a documentary about last year's election, which I have not seen, but it just is what's on his IMDb list. But like, yeah, like at the end of, well, I don't know if we should jump to the end. I mean, we're assuming everyone's seen this already.
Yeah, it's been out
in the scenario. Like, yeah, he's got a pretty good average of people that still talk to him coming out of this. It's like, oh, 2/3 of them still talk to
me. Well, at in 2013. They did. Who knows if they were like...
Sure, maybe they've lost touch now, but that makes me wonder. It makes me a little sad that you can't go back. I guess that's what I meant by like, what is he up to now? Because it'd be cool if he could do the experiment again. It's such a small sample size, but I wonder if like, you know, if he got to the point where hundreds of people were sort of chanting his name and, you know, washing his feet or whatever, like, I mean, would he develop...
Have you ever... done a prank that went to a point that it went too far and you're like, I've got to abandon this?
That's what how I got married. And why I'm not divorced.
I see. Oh. I see. That is a joke, right?
Because tax breaks are the best prank.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, I think like, I feel like I've been involved in like, this will be fun and funny and no one's ever going to know and it's going to be neat. And then I'm like, oh shit, I've got to get out of this because now people are interested.
Right.
And I've involved people that I don't want to hurt.
Right.
In something. This
is, tell us more about that.
We need to know more about this.
What happened there?
I think my entire life. Well, I mean, I don't know. Like,
like why you are called Paco?
Yeah, exactly. Like I had a Free Dirt Media. I had a company. I'm making air quotes for people that are listening. But I had a company called Free Dirt Media, which was a complete joke. But we had a website. We had a board of directors. It was like I put together a really nice looking website in 2001. We had a bunch of fake projects and stuff. And I started getting applications. And people emailing me wanting jobs and stuff. And it got to the point where I was like, we should just not do this.
Well, that's the question, is how many people were in on it with you? Because this comes up in this documentary, too, like that he had people helping out. Like, right. Was it just a joke you were doing for your pure amusement for yourself? Or was there a small circle of people that were in on it?
No, there was a small circle of people. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And we just thought it was funny to pretend to be a tech company in San Francisco.
In 2001.
In 2001.
Funny.
Yeah, exactly.
That is funny then. Yeah.
That was so we were coming up with, we were talking about being an IPO at some point, and we had these fake tech products that we were putting out.
Oh, suddenly no one cares that people wanted a job because it was like a tech company. Yeah, no one cares. It's fine. You can pull that ruse.
Yeah. And then it was called Free Dirt Media, and we had a wheelbarrow as our logo. And then a few years ago, I saw a group in town called Free Dirt Apparel that took our logo, our wheelbarrow logo, and used it on their clothing.
Well, they realized that you couldn't even pronounce it, so they were just like, we should take it. He's not doing anything with it.
He's just trying to learn how to pronounce the damn thing.
It's not even a real company.
They took the logo?
They took our fake logo.
It said free right on it, though.
Yeah, that's the problem.
That's true.
I should have said expensive media.
So that's why you never responded to my resume.
It is. That is why. Okay. I actually would email people back and just be like, I am so sorry. We are a fake company. We don't exist. And they would like, what? Because we had a really slick, with like flash animation and stuff, we had a slick looking website. And people were like.
That's like when people ask me what my tattoo means. And I'm like, it's not going to be satisfying for either of us. But
what is it?
It's intentionally ambiguous. Isn't that unsatisfying?
It is.
No, it's not a fake company. It means something.
Right. But in the same. So what about fake it till you make it? Do you guys believe in that?
Well, here's the thing.
Yeah.
I am not a therapist. I haven't been to a lot of therapy. Yeah. Not any that was effective anyway.
Right.
But I've dated some therapists.
Oh, awesome.
that is a great way to get around to those ethical. It's a good way to get cheap therapy. Yeah.
Exactly right. Yeah. Exactly right. And one thing that was brought up to me was I said something to someone along the lines of, he was talking about leading a group and these things that were, he was presenting in the group. And I was like, oh, do you ever feel like a fraud? Which is kind of a fucked up thing to say, but I really meant it. Cause it's like, Wow, if I had to present those things to people like, hey, fix your life and do this and that. I mean, it would really cause me to look at my life and say like, do I feel,
sure,
can I really be this person up here on the mountaintop, like saying, do this, do that, that I can't do myself? And he said, well, there's one thing that we say in therapy, which is like acting as if. So even though you know that you're not this virtuous person or whatever you're trying to do, it's like, let me act as if I'm that super motivated person that like has a job and just get up at 7 a.m. and go work out and then, you know, whatever. So I think that confused me going into this movie, like thinking of that phrase where it's like people really do the act as if approach to make themselves better. And, you know, essentially he never lied. I mean, he continuously said, like, I'm not who I say I am.
Right.
So there's this like huge caveat in all of it where it's like, sure, he's acting, he's putting on a, accent.
He can do yoga. He can stretch. Like, he's good at stretching. Yeah.
He's got some moves.
He's got some good, and he made up some moves.
Yeah. And those, I thought, I mean, the guitar riff move, that was like, okay, now you're making them look like fools.
Yeah, exactly. There is an element of that.
The Pete Townsend. Yeah.
It's called the Pete Townsend. It's why it's like a fairly cringeworthy documentary, like you said, especially at the end where I was like, oh, like, I don't know if I'd have the balls. I don't know. I think I would just leave. I wouldn't. I don't think I'd just be like, okay, you guys are all great. Peace. I'm going back to fucking whatever that place was that he was from.
What
did New he Jersey? Call
it? No, the place in like
India. That old where he claimed to be from, right?
Yeah.
Now.
Oh, yeah.
I can't remember what he called it. But anyways, I would just be like, peace out. I'm
Shamistan?
Shamistan.
Yeah.
I wanted to prove to others who are looking for answers that no one is more spiritual than anyone else. That spiritual leaders are just illusions, and we are the ones who decide who and what is real. So I thought, what if I became a spiritual leader? If I could do it, wouldn't it prove anyone could?
Achieving a gorgeous grin from home isn't a total mystery with BiteClear aligners. Just don't be surprised if all of your sleuthing friends start asking, what's your secret? Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces. Plus, they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Bite.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Well, I mean, I kind of feel unsatisfied by this film on so many levels.
Oh.
But one is also feeling like, yeah, like if you are going to go with it, you take this to its logical conclusion, you know, like maybe he starts franchising. He like has different Kumaris played by different South Asian men in different cities. And just to kind of like further that point, or it just really like I found myself reacting very strongly to this, which is good. Which is like, I don't normally even
react
that strongly.
So you didn't think that the con was big enough?
I partly don't think the con was big enough. And then also like things like the caveats, I'm like, these were very conveniently just tossed in. So, you know, he could always like have that in the film being like, I told everyone I was fake. right? Like, that's like, I don't know why I did the accent there.
That's good.
Not the character in which you would do the accent. But I'm also thinking about it, like, I kept thinking about, like, Nathan for you and, like, other pranks, or, like, Borat or the Ali G pranks.
Right.
And you mean you like that better because there is no reveal?
I thought a couple things about it, because you could say some of those are mean, and I was thinking about this sort of the general thing of, like, the idea of, like, punching down, and I'm like, okay, what works in this? Like, when he's going after this psychic lady who's saying, there's a chain of Kumaris behind you, mm-hmm. and he's, like, looking at the camera, like, he's looking at the camera.
Right.
That's kind of like, okay, we all know this is stupid. And that feels different than when it's, like, someone's like, oh, I'm a single mom who raised three kids and I have like a lot of weight issues. And like that, and you know, I know that like the kind of compromise ends up being this touchy feely thing of like at the end, like she's just like, you really did show me that I didn't need anyone. And like, even if that's how that worked out, his agonizing over revealing himself, I'm like, you just created this whole problem for yourself.
That's an interesting take.
Zero sympathy for you on that level. And so there is a lot there where I was starting to resent this movie. But it's interesting because I did think about it afterward. And it's been kind of, I've been like, what are we going to talk about when we talk about this? Because I've had a lot of like negative feelings about this whole thing.
Huh. I get it. I can get it. That's an interesting take. I do wonder if like if it ended in complete like shit show where people were just all pissed and crying and being like, you faked me out and all this shit, would he actually edited the film together?
Well, that's the thing, is you gotta wonder about the editing, because there are those four people who do not ever talk to him, quote unquote.
Right.
But were there no sound bites of them being like, fuck you, this dude?
Yeah.
Because there had to have been that reaction for some people. And that would be so interesting.
I know.
I mean, the yoga studio owner being one of them, I feel like that's the most justified out of everyone, because she really did. She was pretty instrumental to the whole thing taking off. So like, I think her sense of like, I'm just out of here, I'm like, yeah, that seems fair.
Yeah. Right. You mean
beyond fair.
Teresa? That?
I think that, yeah, the woman who owned the yoga studio. Uh-huh. Yeah. And like, okay, so everyone signed a release form early on because
the cameras are there. Yeah, they must have, because he also then put everybody in the credits too. So they must have signed a release from the get-go.
They must have in the beginning, yeah. And then, so the people that just didn't respond or didn't want to get the reaction on camera, they're just like, I'm done with this thing. You have my release on all the shit that you already shot.
Yeah.
I'm out.
And I wonder too, like, people act differently around cameras. So if they think like, there's a documentary film crew filming Kumare, he must be legitimate. You know, that must be.
Oh,
like,
yeah.
You know, like, he must be a real guru, because there's like, if there weren't cameras around, I wonder if this would have worked as
well.
That's
why I travel with cameras all around me.
And you guys need any water? You guys
they
good?
Okay. Don't speak to them.
Oh, I'm so sorry. Yeah. That was the grip.
Just pretend. Just maintain the fourth wall.
Sorry. I'm sorry. Yes.
Podcasting is a cult. By the
it
way.
Is. Have you guys, what is your favorite cult?
Ooh. I brushed up against Landmark Forum.
Oh.
Mm.
I wouldn't say it was my favorite, but it was really the one for a while where I worked at Cafe Gratitude for a little while.
Oh, no. Tell us.
I am regretful. I'll have the I am the fuck out of here.
Oh, no.
Yeah, I did. Know. And a lot of my friends worked there. This is when I was a young circus performer. Oh. And all my circus friends worked at the super healthy hippie restaurant. And
the one in the Mission?
Yep.
Yeah.
I worked at the one in the Mission.
They had a Berkeley
such a San Francisco sentence that you just said.
Yep. Mm-hmm.
All my circus friends worked at Cafe Gratitude.
Yeah. And at a certain point, they're like, you don't have to take the Landmark Forum, but if you don't want to, we wonder why you're working at this restaurant and not at McDonald's.
Oh, no.
I was like, well, none of my friends work at McDonald's, for one.
Right.
So I did the forum. You go to like the first day and the first several hours of it, they're like, this is just to find out if you're coachable. Basically meaning like, are you willing to acquiesce to our fucked up language? Right. And
is it the whole, the no peeing also? Is that part of it?
They might ask you to just stay in the room for a certain number of hours, but it's basically 3 hours, I think, at the beginning of a weekend long session. Mm. And it's kind of like they tear you down to build you back up. Mm. And so there were certain, like, there were certain things that you had to accept, like, I don't remember the language, but it's basically like, everything I know is shit.
Right.
And at the end of the day, I was like, you know, at the end of the 3 hours, I was like, yeah, I think I am coachable. Like, I'm paid my money. I'm here. Like, let's do it. Let's give it the old college try. Right? No, it was like 400 something for the weekend. And at the end of the day, they were just saying, you know, these crazy exaggerated things like, all the systems I have for dealing with my life are failing me and stuff like that, where I was like, well, I don't really accept that as true. And I'm not like working on any big trauma. I mean, people have really powerful stories. And so the whole first 3 hours is people who have been through the forum and they're like, you know, I was molested and I've really re-owned that story and conquered my blah, blah, blah. And they're just tears streaming. And you're like, well, I want some of that, you know, but at the end of the day, I haven't been molested and I didn't have any huge trauma that I was working on. And I was just kind of like, I don't know if this is for me. And they were like, well, you said that you were coachable.
Oh, man.
And I was like, turns out I'm not.
Which also is kind of like, make something up, wink, wink. Like, or you know, go deep inside. I mean, weren't you touched? You know, like,
well, yeah,
leading question stuff.
Yeah, it's like trying to find a way to turn the story of your life into a shit show. And I wasn't really willing to do that. Mm. I'm like, I'm already like, I work at fucking Cafe Gratitude. I'm pretty grateful for like my life and the way it is and the things that I've like made and created, the systems that I've created for dealing with my shit. But
you were a clown, for Christ's sakes.
Yeah. Well, and one fucked up thing was like, I had a friend who was working at the cafe and I probably can't say this. Whatever. I'll skip it.
Okay. Fair enough.
They basically
Patreon bonus content.
They basically told someone that was working their NA program, it's us or them, between Landmark Forum and
Gratitude said that?
Landmark Forum
did. Okay.
Which is like, that's culty. Like when you're telling someone that they can't use the resources in their tool belt for dealing with their narcotics addiction, that's crazy. And this is someone who's like given so much time and money to the forum.
Right. Yeah. NA's free.
Yeah.
That's a little fucked up because they're like, we don't want you keep going over there. Because it's free. We want you to pay money over here. Yeah, I think anything that helps you find an inner, you know, other than maybe like a licensed therapist or something, just seems like a scam, you know.
The light at the end of the pot of gold at the end of that rainbow of a story is that I did get my money back and they gave me, I think they cut me a check and then they also credited my bank account back. So I got paid to be there.
Oh, damn. Nice.
Damn. Your systems are working.
My systems really do work for me.
Yeah, they do. Not for stupid Landmark Forum. What about you, George?
A cult that I've been involved in?
Or do you have a favorite?
A favorite cult.
I was thinking about right now what you were talking about reminded me of the Tony Robbins documentary that we watched.
Oh, yeah. Have you seen that?
That we didn't do an episode on. I haven't. But it's called really I Am Good. Not Your Guru. It's kind of a weird companion piece to this.
But that's,
if you think about it.
It is. You're absolutely right. But his whole thing is the flip side. It's like, I'm not your guru. I mean, it's kind of what Kamari is trying to say at the end. It's like, it's in you. It's not me. I can be fake and you can still lose 70 pounds. But Tony's shit is like, I'm not your guru. It's you. Give me $3,000 for this weekend. You know, I want to jump in my 6-foot weird pool thing.
Right now, like, there's like, I think Tony Robbins and Pitbull are doing seminars together.
Of course they are.
So, like,
they're the heroes America's asked
something
for
that.
To bring it back, I guess, to Kumare, is like, the thing about Tony Robbins, I guess, that you can say, even though he charges this ridiculous amount of money, is at least, you know, these systems like work for him and work for the community of people that follow him. And that continues to be like a source of community for people. Whereas like, that's the thing that's sad about the end of Kumari is like whether they helped those people or not. I mean, the thing about cults or religions, which have a lot of negative aspects to them, is at least on some level, those places create community for people. And that part of it is real. Even if you're led by some charlatan who's taking your money. You know, the fact that you're a part of a congregation where come middle of winter out in the sticks, those people come to your house and help you shovel the driveway. You know, it's like they're just people
in
the congregations. Mm-hmm. And so these people are kind of dispersed by the fact that they're like fake guru just is like, bye, I'm just a filmmaker. Figure it out on your own. Be your own guru.
I know. I mean, there's a sense of like, fuck you, dude, Vikram. Like, that's kind of a shitty thing to do, you know, to some nice, weird, hippie white people in Sedona.
Yeah.
Or, you know?
At least he didn't diddle them, which a real guru, many of them.
Well, that's like the beginning part of this documentary is fucking hilarious because Bhagwan Dose.
The crusty
Mr. Eyebrows.
He's like,
guru eyebrows,
He's like, he says, like, he's like, what's wrong with having sex with all the young girls? Like, that's what it's all about. Like,
wouldn't you love to have sex with a spiritual person?
If I was a 20-year-old girl, I would love hanging out with you. You follow me? I would just love it.
He's the new teacher of this age, of this world.
He's having sex with all the young girls. He cannot be a real guru. Why not?
He's the one who has the answer. That's what I believe.
What could be more fabulous than having sex with a really spiritual, mystical person?
I mean, that's kind of fucked up if you think about it. Or, you know, like the scurvy looking flea ridden guru dudes. It's like, they're fucking young and hot, brah.
I will say that watching the, I started watching the DVD commentary.
Oh, wow.
And so
cool.
The whole, I mean, yeah, if you get this on DVD, you can watch the commentary. But they were like showing those early clips when he's talking, like there's that white woman and there's those other gurus. And he's like one of the guys who's like smoking in India that he's talking to. He's like, oh, these guys were all heroin addicts, by the way. This guy's dead now.
Wow.
He was trying to make a documentary that was going to like sort of expose the charlatans. That was kind of his initial goal.
Oh, okay.
And then it modified to being him deciding he was going to be one of them. So that was at least how I think this project started.
That's weird.
He had all this footage from going there. And then it's interesting because like even before you hit the credits, you've got like he actually goes to India. He's participating in all these rituals and he's like, you know, learning to do yoga. I guess one of those spots was like where the Beatles were in India.
Oh,
he just like snuck over a fence with the camera crew to like when he's waking up and kind of like airing his balls out with that white loincloth or whatever. Yeah. Like that's all where the Beatles were hanging out. So I want to know a little bit more about him. And at the same time, I don't because I also feel like I got taken for a ride, you know?
Right. But then there's also the bigger experiment of he did this little experiment acting as a guru. And then the bigger experiment is the movie itself. And so if the message to the wider audience that sees this movie is like, question your gurus, well, then it's the same sort of thing where it's like, do they need to question their gurus? I guess if they're being sexually abused, they should definitely do. But, you know, for the people who are in those cults, if it's working for them, I mean, maybe they're just kind of deluded or whatever, but are they doing any harm in the world by being in a cult or following a guru? You know,
that's a good point. I mean, it's based, I mean, it's fucking Christianity at its core, you know, I mean, for those people who don't believe in God, like myself, it's like, you know, is anyone doing any harm if they go to church and believe in this shit and pray and, you know, I mean,
well, the real question is, do you want to be saved?
Yeah.
Do you want to accept Jesus Christ?
I kind of do. Yeah.
Have to say the words.
Have any of you guys been conned? I had an elaborate con pulled on my ass.
Let's hear
and
it.
I fucking fell for that shit, dude. I just moved to San Francisco, and there is a laundromat across the street from my house. And I went there, and I was wearing a
Armani suit, three-piece.
Yes. I mean, it was beautiful.
Vintage, but
Italian. No, I was wearing a Yoshi's t-shirt from Oakland, Yoshi's Jazz t-shirt. And this dude came up to me and said, do you like jazz? And I was like, of course I like jazz. And he said, well, I am the drummer for the Yellow Jackets. And I was like, no fucking way. I love the Yellow Jackets. He's like, I bet you play an instrument, don't you? And I was like, yeah. And he's like, what do you play? And I'm like, I play jazz piano. And he's like, I knew it, man.
I play the skin flute.
I play a lot of skin organs. And he was like, I knew it. He was like so charming. And he was like doing, buttering my ego as like in the best way possible. He's like, I could tell. He's like, what are you into Thelonious? You into like, and I was like, of course, I love Thelonious, you know, and saying all this shit. And he's like, well, the Yellow Jackets are playing tonight. And we would love it if you would sit in and play a little jazz piano with us. And I was like,
how much is that going to set you back?
Well, as it turned out, I needed a card from the union. So he came over to my apartment
to get those dues.
And he was like, let me call the band guys, because it's pre-cell phones. Came over to the, right here, right where you're sitting, and got on my phone and made some phone calls and said, dude, good fucking news. You're in. All we need to do is get you a one-day union card from the musicians' union.
That's pretty convenient.
And I was like, dude, that's awesome. How much is that? $300. I'm like, fuck, you don't pass up a chance for this. Like, this is what the big city's all about. This is why I moved here. Play with some jazz bands, dude. I was like, let's fucking do it. And he's like, you got a car? I was like, hell yeah, I got a car. Let's go. And he's like, I know where the musicians' union is. As a matter of fact, my buddy works there. I think we can expedite this real quick. And I was like, fuck yeah. I was like, this is awesome. Get in my car, drive to the mission. Of course, you wait here. I'll be right back because, you know, I can take care of this. And I was like, cool. He comes out. He says, you're all set. We'll have your name at the door. This is the address. Come at 8 p.m. We'll have you sit in.
That's the part that's a little extra. It's like you're going to make him now drive to Oakland after you took his money.
Yes, he did.
That's bullshit.
And then I drove out there and the door seems to be locked. I'm knocking and I'm knocking and finally this person.
Did you show him your card?
There was no card. This person came out and was like, hello. And I'm like, I'm here to play with the Yellow Jackets. And he's like, I'm sorry, what?
You must have met Tony.
Yeah.
That old scam.
It was like a 4-hour scam.
That's crazy, yeah. But you good money. I mean, really on his end. Yeah.
Real good money. Long con, dude. The long con.
I like that we've already talked about this incident on this podcast before.
Have we?
Yeah, in the second episode.
Oh, wow. Awesome. Oh, yeah, with the imposter? Yeah. Is that what it was? George is like, he's forgetting his summers now. Count your summers, Grandpa.
I remember this story. Yeah, I let people live with me before, and that ended up being problematic for a lot of reasons, but... yeah, I'm pretty gullible. I'm pretty willing to like give individual people a shot, but I'm not like into joining groups, you know, right, just for the sake of joining a group. And there is a musicians union though.
Right? Sure. I guess. I don't know.
That exists.
Probably.
Paco won't join now just out of spite.
No, I'm not joining that fucking union. Fuck those guys. I'm a scab. I'll go play piano somewhere else. I don't know.
I don't think I've ever been conned, but there was this period of my life, and maybe this is just part of being like a 18 to 20-something year old girl. It's like people would proselytize to me pretty heavily. I feel like I'd be at like a bus stop or something and people would be like,
really?
Have you read this book, Conversations with God? And then they would just start talking about religion. And I think women that age are probably polite in a way that makes for a good audience. Yeah.
I can see that. Yeah.
That makes sense.
Yeah.
I may have hate crimed some Mormons.
Oh, okay.
Great.
That's more of a crime.
Than a con, yeah. A con.
Well, just like
it's only funny if you're the victim.
They could hear me, and then I was like, "Oh, some fucking look at these fucking Mormons walking up the street," and then they're like passing me by, like, "Good day." I'm like, "Oh, fuck, they were, weren't they?" I just thought they were white men in suits,
right?
I thought I was being funny,
yeah,
and I accidentally hate crimed them.
So, what do you like? What is the difference between Borat and Kumare, if any? Do you think?
A lot of fans would be one.
Well, that's one of them.
It was one of the biggest movies that came out. I mean, when we're watching this as a doc, I'm like, this falls into a doc the same way, right? Like Borat, it's like there is like setups. The part that's unscripted is just how are these people going to react? All the setups are scripted.
I think I read somewhere he was like, Borat was scripted, ours was improvised.
Oh, Vikram Gandhi said that about this?
Yeah.
Well, I guess he used ringers, though. I mean, both of them had ringers.
Right.
Like, he had, like, convincing yoga
right,
the women red, yeah. with him. And also, like, I'm like, if yeah, there's a guy walking around with a beard and he's got these two ladies following him around, it kind of legitimizes him.
With a scythe and...
Right. And oh, the, yeah, his symbol that he made up yeah. for Kumare. Yeah.
And my favorite part of his entire getup was the picnic basket.
Yeah, that was great.
Well, like when he's drawing a dick on someone's forehead, that is like my favorite part of it.
Oh, I didn't realize that was what was happening. I thought that was I thought that's the one they really do for the Krishnas.
Maybe I feel like it was a winking. It was like, I just drew a dick on this guy's forehead. Like,
yeah,
it,
there's probably a lot of winking and tongue-in-cheek stuff that I just didn't pick up on. Yeah.
The first time I saw this documentary, I was like, fuck this guy. I was in the same boat, George. I was like, this guy sucks and fuck him. And I just watched it again this morning. And I have a little different, more softer take now on it where I'm kind of like, okay, like, you know. It's fun. It's kind of funny, some of the shit, and he did help some people. You know, don't hate him quite as much for some reason now, because yeah. I think I saw. Yeah. I think I now because I know now. When I first saw, I didn't know that he at the end revealed that he was a fake. Mm. Now knowing that and watching it, I'm like, okay, like he seems to have some regret, and he does seem to have a heart, you know, and he does come out at the end. And
it's interesting what it says about our culture, though, because. You know, if he had just gone out and tried to create this thing without any of the lies about his identity, it's hard to say, like, how much people would have opened up. Like, we exotify people. Mm. And even like, someone who is not presenting themselves as a spiritual person or a holy person, just having a foreign accent sometimes, you give someone such a long leash right. to, like, fuck up or... things they say are funny or automatically endearing. And
that's
what does it yeah. say about well, us that, you know, you can get away with saying certain things in a foreign accent and not just in the right. American accent.
Well, yeah, I think that actually is like one thing I did think about Borat and Ali G a lot. And like why those are different in a lot of ways has to do with the power dynamic. Right. Because what the character of Borat or Ali G is like, someone who seems a lot dumber than they actually are, so people let their guard down around them and right. they just let loose with like, well, this idiot would, I'm just going to say whatever in front of this idiot. And the opposite effect is happening in this film where people are like, you have so much wisdom. And then it's like, yeah, right. Like I got wisdom. Look at these assholes. Right. Like there is a different dynamic to the power. And I think that's what we talk about when we talk about like this idea of punching down in that scenario. And right. I think to me that is a big difference between, but not that like Borat or Ali G would also, you know, take down normal people, you know, in one-on-one instances.
I bet there was a lot of fighting in the editing room of this documentary because it seems like there was a struggle between making it fun and funny and kind of winky.
Totally.
And also like, oh shit, we fucked some people over.
Yeah.
You know, because there's that moment with Greg, probably my favorite person.
The cocaine addict? Yeah, yeah. I know, I was thinking of him. He's so vulnerable and he's opening himself up so much. And mm-hmm. you got to feel like no matter what the intention was in the beginning, when people open up in that way and are mm-hmm. so vulnerable, especially in front of cameras.
Right.
I mean, he's having Vikram. You can see him having like a genuine moment. But like that's got to be just so tarnished with the fact that like, you know, this thing is being fucking filmed and this guy is kind of being tricked into saying those things, and it's not a safe space. He's giving the illusion of like, this is a safe place to do that, but it's almost like he's it's a joke.
I used to drink a lot. I used to, you know, chase women. I used to do all sorts of things.
Okay.
On top of all that, I developed a cocaine habit. And so I used cocaine. I used to inject it.
Cocaine in arm, okay.
My life spiraled down.
Okay.
This one night, you know, I'd been up all night smoking crack. And that morning she came back and she said, Greg, I'm leaving. And I said, okay, I need to go get help. And so 6 years ago is when I got clean. And so then we had to repair our lives together.
That took a while.
And when we got married, the one thing we knew we were going to do is put God first. and helping others became the most important thing. The most important thing, just what you're doing right here, by coming here and helping others, the most important thing you can do.
Yeah.
Delve into the shadows of the mind with Sleeping Dogs, a gripping murder mystery starring Academy Award winner Russell Crowe. Now available on digital. Crowe portrays an ex-homicide detective unraveling a brutal murder he can't recall. Uncovering secrets from his past, he learns a chilling truth. It's best to let sleeping dogs lie. Visit sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery to watch Sleeping Dogs, now on digital. That's sleepingdogsmovie.com/wondery.
CarMax is putting peace of mind back in car shopping by putting you in the driver's seat to find a ride that's right for you. Because at CarMax, we believe you shouldn't just settle for a car. You should love your car. That's why every car we sell is CarMax certified quality, so you can be sure with upfront pricing that's the same for every customer. So don't settle. Find love at first drive and start shopping now at CarMax.com. CarMax, the way car buying should be.
Can I bring up my favorite character?
Sure.
The guy who is so lonely that his main issue is that he goes shopping market and takes the free samples.
Oh my God, that guy's awesome.
Give yourself the message that you want to hear. I should stop taking free samples just so I can talk to people.
Oh, no. Oh, he's so adorable, that guy.
And he brings that, you know, that's
Costco Larry.
That's his final serving of karma. You just get the sense that that's the only issue he has left in this life. Or he's just he doesn't see his Coke use as an issue.
Right.
He's just concerned with his samples issue.
Right. Yes. Yeah, that guy's. And then it's like, I don't know. It's I forgot what I was going to say, but yeah, that character is amazing. Because at one point in when they first introduce him, Kumari is like, and his only problem is that he comes to all the gatherings and eats all the free food. You know, I don't know if you can let somebody off the hook. I feel like that's what he wants. Like Vikram's looking, the filmmaker's looking for people to be like, you know what? At the end, you did a good job, and that lady lost 70 pounds and kept the weight off, and that guy is still working out, and it's like, you know what? You did a good job. I mean, should he be left off the hook? Should we be absolved?
Well, I think he absolved himself, right? He let himself off the hook at the end by putting out this movie.
Right.
That's how it feels to me.
Oh, okay.
I feel like he had to lead with a strong premise, but there are places and organizations where people can go and find spiritual community and do real work on themselves and their issues. And that is an ongoing source that's out there. And, you know, I think it's a bit of a disservice to just start and end this movie by saying we're all frauds. You know, like I've searched the whole globe and all I find is fraud where there should be spiritual wisdom. And it's like, well, I don't know, some pretty spiritual dudes have incarnated on planet Earth and they're worthy of time and attention. And I think that's the thing that these people got out of it is they're getting this attention from someone in being heard. You know, that's huge. There's people that will listen to your issue with your samples and your issue with, you know, your past addictions and your food addictions and stuff, and to not offer any of that. I mean, I guess some of these people are coming from this yoga studio where they maybe have a sense of community there, but that's the part that feels like a disservice, is because I do believe that there are real resources for these people that are kind of left in his wake.
Yeah, I don't remember who said this. I think maybe I've heard this on Marin's podcast, but he's like, there's no such thing as an atheist soup kitchen, right? Like there's people that believe and actually do help communities, and whether or not you are fully on board with that or not, there's that work is being done at least, right? So yeah, I see what you're saying. This kind of movie could be taken in such a cynical way that it's like, why bother trying? You know.
Well, why do you think this movie was really well received. I mean, it did have some pan reviews, but overall, I mean, it was a pretty popular doc when it first came out.
Well, it helps that Kumare, Vikram is pretty hot.
Is he? Okay. All right. All right. Sure. But what do you think? Like, there's a spirituality thing in America that is, I mean, this is a deep cut, but like, there's definitely a prevailing spirituality thing in the United States where there's a lack of and almost too much of
at the same time.
Yeah. Right. I mean, especially like living in the Bay Area for a long time, you certainly meet a lot of, like, I used to go to this place called the House of Love that just drove me fucking insane because you had to touch crystals and, you know, there's people with names like Stone and Redwood and Summer and shit. Like, that kind of stuff is like always kind of.
So why did you go there?
They had a comedy show.
Free samples?
They had free samples. And the girls were cute. And they had it was like a cabaret.
Yoga pants.
So many yoga pants. But they had a cabaret there. So they'd always have me do comedy. And then I would do stand up and nobody, I felt like I was killing their dog in front of them. Like the reaction to jokes was just like so. And I did it because it was so hard. I was like, if I can get these people to laugh at my stupid fucking jokes, my Midwestern sense of humor, I could cut through something. But
this reminds me of every time I try to do a stand-up show in Berkeley. It's just
it's so
the
tough.
Hardest crowd.
And I don't know. I feel like, I'm just wondering, like, there's something about religion, heroes, instructors, people with other knowledge, you know, that like this country seems to yearn for all the time. I feel like that's what let Trump into the White House is like. People are like, he's got the answers. Look at him.
He's the least religious dude ever. But then he's just like, we're going to say Christmas. Like, that's all he's got in the can. Like, I'm going to be sleeping around and divorced three times. And
right.
You guys can say Christmas again. No one stops saying Christmas. Like, I don't think anyone stops saying Christmas.
Is the most popular religion Christianity at this point?
In the U.S.?
In the U.S.
Oh, yeah.
In the U.S. Not in the world.
Because I feel like that one, their big thing is like, oh no, it's not for you to know God. That's for the holy men. And you get faith.
Right.
And that's what you get. Yeah. But we'll give you communion and we'll just relate to God. But there's no...
Mm-hmm. Well, they have a direct connection.
People are just trained, I guess, in that sense to like acquiesce their need to experientially know God or know some sense of like enlightenment.
I don't know. I feel like there is like the American Christianity is almost more like charismatic based or more like people having like speak in tongues. Like that direction of Christianity is kind of more goes back to some real old school Christianity rather than the hierarchical, like the Catholic Church is super hierarchical, right?
Mm-hmm. Right.
So yeah, it's like that American blend of like super hardcore Christianity does seem like it is communing directly with God in a way, and there it is cutting out the middlemen because like they hate Catholics too. That's the other thing, like the old school like Southern, like, you know, Baptists or whatever, they hate the Catholics as much as other religions. So
right.
Yeah.
Well, and there's something about the eternal happiness that this fucking country is always clawing for. Like, Americans want to be happy, and it's like, we don't know how to become happy. I want to be happy. Do I buy happiness? Do I have a dream board? Do I have a guru? Do I do it through yoga? Like, how do you? And it's like, you are happy. You're already happy.
Right.
Like, there's there's no definition. There's no final line of happiness.
Well, it's that there's no thing outside yourself that's going to
make you happy.
Fill you up.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Mm. And have you guys ever seen Marjo?
No.
It's a really it's a really obscure documentary. It's from the early 70s. But this guy from age 4 until like 30 was a televangelist. He was a tent revival preacher. Mm-hmm. He's from the South, and he made a bunch of money just being like, God bless you. You need to go into churches and stuff. And he decided that he was going to reveal the scam that was behind it. So he hired a film crew to follow him around. So it's very similar in this. Hmm. It's a really great documentary, though.
Thought about Holy Hell, which if you guys saw Holy Hell,
that's
like a guy who totally abused, like sexually abused the people in his congregation. But everyone in the congregation had the similar like actual special experience of like, oh, like feeling it's like some kind of electrical charge go through them or something like that. So there was something that was happening. There was something that was delivering.
well,
in that situation.
That happens in Kumare too when he's mm-hmm. doing yeah. the blue light meditation. Yeah. And that makes me think, you know, his intentions, I think, were not always clear. But when you look at the people that are congregating around him, you know, their intention is mm-hmm. clear. Like, they're That's in true. Earnest meditating. And so then it begins to work for them. And Vikram has this moment where he's like, it worked for me, too. It was weird. I right. made yeah, up this right, bullshit that thing. And then mm-hmm. It worked.
Right.
Which... Mm-hmm.
That's because we're all fucking.
It's because of the secret.
It is because of the secret. It's because of the law of yeah. attraction. Now on three, everyone say kabam with me. 3, 2, 1. That's
it.
A
just
funny
seemed
scene.
Like the ladies were really into Kumare, though. Ladies yeah. love Kumare. LL Cool K.
Yeah, LL Cool K for sure.
I mean, he's babelicious.
Yeah, he is babelicious.
Wearing
yeah,
there's a thong.
Yeah, yeah. Definitely some ladies are like, oh, this shirt's just too tight and it's so hot in here. Let me just take this off. But like, I do love the law of attraction moment with the dream board scene
and stuff.
And when, especially when.
Yeah, that's right. The law of attraction class.
The kabam. And that that lady's up there like, okay, I don't really believe in money that much. So it's just in the corner. And then he's like, you have to be done now. You have to stop talking. She's like, oh, okay. And he's like, we have to leave. They told us we can't be in here. They go sit on the ground. Yeah. Front.
Classic.
It's like, was a conference room on your dream board?
Right. Those parts where it like feels like a mighty wind or like, you know, one of those like Christopher Guest type things.
Yeah.
Right.
There's too few of those.
Should we try to do Cast This Doc?
Gotta cast this doc. Gotta cast this doc.
The problem is there is not a ton of famous South Asian men that aren't short comedians.
Right.
So that's also... True.
Hassan, cast... Well, like you try to...
Like do a biopic version of Kumare.
Gotcha.
Yeah, we do like... So you would just pick any actor that could play any of these people.
Oh, Greg Flea from the Red Hot Chili Peppers. That's all I've got for that.
For Greg,
yeah. Well, Hasan Minhaj could play Kumare, couldn't he?
Oh, we need someone more Jesus-y.
He's a little interesting. Like, the vibe is very different. Yeah. He's too hyper. Like,
he is a very
a really
hyper guy.
Kumare would be interesting. Yeah. But, yeah,
I would say like Russell Brand, maybe.
Sure, yeah.
He'd have to do a titch of blackface.
Brown face.
Just a titch.
Yeah, so. Ben Kingsley it up for the.
Yes, he would have to be. Yes.
But just, he's got that vibe.
He does.
He's got some real crust Sex and God crystal vibe, on him. Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
He doesn't really talk about his two buddies there, the ladies, but the red-haired one, the yoga one, was Isla Fisher, isn't that, that's her name?
Oh, okay. Yeah, that it was actually Ali G, Sacha Baron Cohen's
that's right.
real wife.
That's right, she is. That's
but
funny.
That woman,
the redhead is Ali
women,
G's
yeah.
wife?
Yeah.
That's funny.
No, well, not really, but Ali G's wife could play her.
Yeah,
both those women are actresses, though, except that the yoga lady is actually a certified yoga instructor, redhead.
Okay.
And apparently that thing where they stick their tongue out is a real yoga move. It just is funny for the camera.
Yeah. I've thrown that pose around.
Have you?
Yeah.
Yeah. Child's tongue.
I think for fun, the Indian woman who's working with Vikram, Mindy Kaling.
Oh. Yeah.
I mean, she would be like, she would throw some fun spices on that for sure.
Oh my God. Yeah.
Oh, you know who I think better than that, and I don't know the actress's name, the woman who is from Game of Thrones, whose lover is smashed, his head is smashed like a watermelon. You know what I'm talking about? Am I spoiling Game of Thrones?
I don't know.
For anyone?
Yeah, I'm actually two seasons behind.
Smashed
the watermelon.
This is back. This is like season four. Or something.
Oh my gosh.
There's a character. There's an actress who I think would have been.
Here
good
we go
for
again.
That.
Not naming names.
Not naming the names.
I'm gonna get
Patreon
on
bonus content.
Yeah, I am.
Are you gonna look it up?
I'm looking it up. Because
he really needs his answer to be better than my answer.
He does. He was like,
no, I just want to know her name.
I think this one's actually better than yours, but I don't know any of the information.
I thought of an answer that's better than yours, but I can't communicate it.
Just
know that I am better.
What about Toby, the lawyer, the death penalty lawyer?
She's great. Yeah.
Jesus Christ.
I mean, what a heavy job. And you
smart
think
lady.
For anybody to get something out of
Yeah.
Like some sort of comfort in the world. I mean, she doesn't seem to have a family or a partner, right?
No.
And mm-hmm. it's like
just a nice ass apartment. Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah.
Apartment.
But work, 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 work. As death, Rihanna's death. Yeah. And she's like, what a thankless job. I mean, I'm sure the people that she works for are thankful, but they're kind of, like she says, society's rejects. And in many ways, it's not like glamorous or like really rewarding, because the only person thanking you is that one person if everything goes their way.
Right.
And for her to find some sense of like relief or community, like outside of her stressful job and stuff. Right. I was happy for her when they were swimming on the floor.
I know. Yeah, that was sweet.
That was very sweet.
Yeah.
Yeah. She's, they actually in those extras talk about like, it's great that she was like, when that's when they do the yoga studio and like she's like only like one of two people that shows up.
Right.
Like, it's great that we got her, because it's like she's like clearly like a really well put together, thoughtful, smart lady.
Yeah.
With this crazy stressful job. So it's like, it's, if they had just gone in with someone who just seems like this is like a country bumpkin or whatever, who just went along. It's like someone who's really smart buy-in.
Yeah.
Or a believer. So that made them, believe that a smart person is automatically skeptical, which is not true, but that's the perception, because how could a person that's so well educated and has such a good job and success and stuff be hoodwinked essentially by, you know, a poser?
I feel like Americans are easily hoodwinked for some reason, because we have such a history of like con artists and pickpockets and
Well, in her case, I think she just has a deep need, like a void in her life where, you know, this person shows up and really, I don't know. It's like creating space where you're able to reflect on those things in your life. And
I like that.
This is a lady I'm thinking of from Game of Thrones, by the way. This is not going to come up well on a podcast.
Oh, yeah, her.
But she was on Luther with Idris Elba, too.
As right.
Ex-wife.
Yeah.
That's who I was thinking of.
She kisses with poison.
Indira Varma.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
I just to prove that I was checking my phone.
Good job. You get to like cast doing good the homework. Movie.
Guess what, George? You cast this doc. I like that there was the yoga retreat thing was called Be Aware. Like, because if you said like, be aware, you know, like danger.
Like B-E-E?
It was B-E, aware. Yeah.
Paco, have you done yoga?
Yes. I did the Bikram thing for a hot second. Excuse the pun.
Oh.
It was all right. It wasn't my favorite. It made me always want to puke.
Who's another guy who is a big fat faker?
The Bikram yoga guy?
He's got a bunch of lawsuits against him.
Oh, Bikram.
Not for...
Do people just pass out from sweating too much? Or
no. Like... Well, he tried to, incorporate those asanas or whatever. Is that how you call it? Trademark them?
Yeah.
So that no one else would be able to do those trademarked moves.
Mm-hmm.
And that was kind of creepy. But then there was all these charges of some kind of embezzlement. Sexual stuff too. And he claims to have no money. He's got like 14 Bentleys or something.
Right,
but these women have come after him saying that he, you know, abused his position to like hook up with them and stuff. And he has all these lawsuits against him, and he claims to be totally bankrupt.
Right. Well, all you have to do apparently is smile a lot. Like, who's that fucker, Joel Ornstein?
Olstein.
Olstein. Like, that's all he does is he's just positive all the time.
The guy in Houston who wouldn't let people into his mega church during the floods.
Yeah. Like, in order to be a guru, to get an audience, you just have to smile and just tell people everything's going to be okay.
Yeah.
Like that's basically it. I mean, which was never mind.
It's so hard to be nice, though.
Ugh, it's such a drain. Ugh. Jesus. It's so hard to be positive all the time. But, I mean, that seems like because that's kind of what Kumari was saying. He's just like, I just smiled and I just would laugh.
Yeah.
And that's all that matters.
It's easier when people give you money to
it's
smile.
It's a lot easier. Yeah.
I mean, yoga doesn't usually end with you having a leader, right? Outside of class. That's not how usual yoga goes, is it?
No, but I think in some yoga studios, you would have people doing kind of like talks. I mean, in Buddhist communities, it would be like a Dharma talk where someone comes and they say, if there's no Buddhist yoga, but you would go and you would meditate, I guess, would be the thing that you kind of show up to do in a group. And then there's this talking element of it too. And I think people who really do study yoga, there's the poses, and there is supposed to be, I think, just silent or sitting meditation. I mean, the asanas, the yoga moves, I think, were initially like the people in India do those to keep their body limber so that they can sit for many hours or whatever, doing silent seated meditation. But that part has kind of been lost on America. Right. We can't sit down and shut up for very long.
After we're done with our yoga, we get in our Range Rover SUV and drive straight to some screaming kids at a soccer field.
Yeah, but I think they do have a teaching element where there is like a philosophy in yoga that people study and follow. And
But it's like a secular, it is like becoming like basically like a secular exercise thing where it had these other roots.
Right.
And like maybe that's part of, I think, what he was, I think part of that, what got him into this was also just like being like an Indian kid and then just seeing like all these white people just kind of appropriating yoga.
Yeah, you know, there like is a bit of
part of what that is.
And he must have, like, he says he goes to Phoenix, but I mean, it's like, I bet he traveled a little in the Sedona area, which seems to be like a big spirituality kind of, like going to Taos, New Mexico or something.
Right.
Yeah. I didn't know Phoenix was so open to spiritual stuff. I've always heard that about like Santa Fe and not specifically. Phoenix has seemed super conservative lately is what I've been hearing.
Yeah.
But yeah.
Absolutely. Krista, what's on your dream board?
I put several things on my dream board. Mm-hmm. I call it a vision board.
Okay. Sure.
What did I put on there? I put on my podcast.
Oh, which is
started.
Oh yeah. What's that?
The Witch Bitch Book Report.
Ah, nice. Okay. What do you guys do on that?
Well, season one, I co-host with Gabby Pochia, another comic.
Very funny. Yeah.
Yeah. It's sort of like, witchy overview 101 is season one. So we speak with people who are proficient at reading, like tarot cards would be one episode. Mm-hmm. Someone who is proficient in dream interpretation was another episode. Also people who just sort of make art. One was someone, a friend of mine, who made co-made a book called Transcendental Women's Anatomy Tasting. If you get the acronym TWAT.
Oh.
Yeah. So stuff that celebrates like women, women's health, women's empowerment, witchy stuff. But mainly focused on like alternative spirituality.
Like metaphysical stuff.
Metaphysical stuff.
Yeah.
I think season two, we're going to go into like historical witches and bitches and do kind of more book report style.
Oh, nice.
About prominent women.
Do you use Witchy Woman as your theme song? That'd be cool.
That would be cool. We couldn't afford it.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's expensive.
Yeah.
So both you and Gabby are all into the these things.
No,
these
we're kind of like a Scully and Mulder situation. She's more skeptical. I'm more of a believer, but she's really come around.
I bet that's what happened.
It is.
Especially by season two. She'll start
believing. Yeah. Well, episode one was called Drink the Kool-Aid. Oh, so we really got
15 years later, you will be in a romantic relationship. Yeah. We talked about.
Do you
like Jillian
make moon water?
I don't, but I have bathed crystals before.
You bathe the crystal or bathe yourself in the crystals?
Bathed the crystal in moonlight.
Okay. Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
What's that do?
Yeah. No, what did that do for you?
It cleans the crystal.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, yeah.
I had a roommate that would hide crystals everywhere. And because I ate meat, she would put crystals on my meat.
Right. Well, see, this crystal, I bought it at the flea market, which you never know. I mean, it could have been the crystal that was in the room when this girl got murdered. Right. And you just want to
give them
a good
crystal.
Moon bath. Yeah. You know, you don't want that Jew showing up in your...
Oh, you don't.
Yeah.
You don't want to be responsible for that Jew.
So that, and then also I had put like a little TV because I was like, I want to be on TV.
Sure. Oh, yeah, right. The dream board. Yeah.
I put a picture of my style icon, Iris Apfel.
Nice.
I gotta look that up.
Have you seen her doc?
I have. Yeah, I thought about that.
Yeah, that's a good one.
I put a picture of a car and I got a car. Guys, a car.
Wow, and it was on your dream board.
I went to the Oprah Winfrey show and she gave me a car. No.
That would be awesome.
I financed it.
Oh, okay. Because yeah. We want to do, should we say?
You want to have Oprah on?
Yeah.
That
would be amazing.
Yeah.
And you get a podcast. And you get a podcast. No, George and I have this idea for The Secret.
Oprah Winfrey needs to take people's podcasts away. Like, yeah. This one needs to happen. Let's weed it out a little.
I think we and your witches, I think there should be two podcasts in the world. SupDoc and your witches.
Thank you. I'm so glad I made the cut. Because there's a lot of really good podcasts out there.
There's some.
Yeah.
There's a couple. So we are at our end, unfortunately, because this has been awesome. I think, what did we cover? Heroes? Did we cover Heroes?
No. What's that?
I don't think we, yeah. The show?
No, just like, just having a hero.
Like, you mean like, yeah, right, leaders, like charismatic leaders.
Yeah. I mean, that's kind of what this is about. I mean, I wrote down some themes, heroes, religion, yoga, faking it till you make it, being an imposter.
I'll just say one of my heroes, Chogyam Trungpa. He's one of the founder of Shambhala Buddhism or Shambhala meditation, I guess. I don't know what you'd call it, but it's this lineage where he like came over from, he was a lama over in Tibet or whatever, and he came here and like all the people around him were like, no, America's not ready, they will fuck this up.
Oh shit.
And he was also an alcoholic and famously would like do these retreats where everyone was kind of getting stoned and high and stuff, and he's just like, this is what is.
Wow.
You know, but he had this there's actually a documentary I think about him called Crazy Wisdom. But he was, and then eventually his lineage of lamas and everybody, the spiritual people that he came from, like came over to see the communities and stuff that he built, which were real and based on the real teachings that he grew up in and stuff. And he essentially brought that form of Buddhism to the United States.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
That's like Alan Watts. Are you guys hip to Alan Watts?
He's in that whole mix. So basically, I think Chogyam Trungpa is responsible for like why Naropa is in Boulder, Colorado.
Oh, okay. But they were all in that Naropa,
same. Yeah. They were all in that same crazy mix.
Watts was a big drunk too.
Yeah.
Alan Watts.
Yeah.
It's really interesting. Krista, thank you so much. Do you have anything to plug?
Well, if you want to find out more about my podcast, you could follow us on Instagram. And it's not on iTunes yet because we've put out so few episodes that we haven't put it on iTunes yet. It's just on SoundCloud. But if you follow us on Instagram, the Witch Bitch Book Report, that's, you can get updates about that. Also, just me on Instagram, and you can find out about our comedy shows and stuff if you're in the Bay Area. And
Charm Offensive.
We have the Charm Offensive, which will be January 24th at Sketchfest.
Yeah, at the Punchline.
Cool. The Punchline.
Yeah.
Yeah. Cool. So this will probably be out by then. So if you hear this January 24th, I'm kind of making that up, but in that date, I think it's the 24th. Wednesday, January 24th at the Punchline at Sketchfest, during Sketchfest.
Yeah. Thanks for doing the show and talking
my
about Kumare.
Yeah, thank you, Krista.
It's working.
Thanks for listening.
You can find more episodes of SupDoc, show notes, updates, and more at supdocpodcast.com.
We're on Twitter, Instagram, and Facebook at supdocpodcast.
If you have comments, corrections, or want to suggest a documentary, email us at supdocpodcast@gmail.com.
The show is listener supported. You can donate to the show at patreon.com/supdocpodcast.
If you can't donate financially, please subscribe, comment, or tell a friend about SupDoc.
We'd like to thank Documentary News for their ongoing support.
SupDoc is produced by Will Scovel.
Our theme music is by David Siegel.